Hello, I'm Josh.
And I'm Christy, and you're listening to the Dr. Josh and Christy podcast,
where we help you become a family who lives, loves, and leads well. My wife, Christy.
Hi.
Sitting across from me here.
Yeah, right here.
Has a knack for being painfully honest.
I do.
You do. I can remember a few years ago, I had come home from work, and I can remember telling Christy about my day. Mm-hmm. I'd start telling her who I'd talked to, what I had done that day. I think I'd talked to you quite a bit about the projects I might have had cooking.
I remember, yes.
And
I do.
Visibly irritated and in tears, she looked at me and might as well have stuck a knife through me at the moment.
Really?
It was painfully honest. You are painfully honest, but it was in a good way, because a lot of it was because of my own stupidity. And what you said to me was, why don't you ask me about my heart? Why don't you ask about me? Mm-hmm. And I remember you were in sweatpants and you didn't have makeup on that whole entire day. And
I remember that day vividly. And you walked in and you were wafting some smell of like delicious milk. I don't know, lattes or cappuccinos of like whatever wonderful ambiance coffee shop you were working from that day. And I was in the kitchen feeding our son, and I was in sweatpants and my hair was in a ponytail. And I think I recall being spackled with sweet potato and banana at the time. And I had no makeup on, and I felt so missed that day. Like, I felt so invisible and unknown, and you had all these great things going on and you were so excited about them, and I didn't want to.
But you were also lost in the beginning of motherhood. You were right in the throes of it.
Like,
I mean,
drowning,
you had just gotten
in it.
You had just gotten thrown into it, and I don't think you realized the impact it was going to have on you.
No, I had no idea the impact it was going to have
on
me.
And I didn't realize the impact it was going to have on you either. I mean, I just thought we're in this together. We're going to do this. And so
you like raise a kid and it's like fun and people make it sound like it's
amazing. And,
and
you've
I was,
had some hard babies. And so
yeah,
that was a part of it.
I was struggling. Struggling is a very mild word, actually.
But you couldn't put, at the time, I mean, looking back on it now, it's easier for us to talk about it. But at the time, it was difficult.
I don't even think I had language to put to it. I think I was so, you know, when you feel like you're just underwater and you're swimming and you're drowning and but you can't even articulate what it is that's suffocating you. Like what it is that's keeping you down, what it is that you're fighting against to get out. I didn't even know what it was, because motherhood is something I guess you're supposed to intuitively, innately know how to do. And I felt like I had no clue. And I to your defense though, Josh, I don't think I knew how much I was struggling until whatever it was you were telling me, it just hit me. Like, I have none of that. I have nothing exciting. I have no great projects I'm working on. I am to see the energy in your eyes and in your voice, and I had nothing. And I felt so alone.
And I think it's important that as we, I felt horrible. I felt like I didn't know what to do. And I mean, here we are, we got these counseling degrees and we figure like we can make this thing work. And I think one of the biggest things for me was in that moment, what it did for me was it helped me realize that I need to focus on your heart more. And
right.
It was right around that time that I had gone to spend time with Cloud and Townsend, with Dr. Mm-hmm. John Townsend and Henry Cloud, and they did a leadership, ultimate leadership that they have. And they're just incredible mentors of mine and friends. And I just remember walking out of there one day. I mean, these are the kinds of things I'm doing. I'm attending ultimate leadership conferences and you're at home lost in your identity. And
yeah, that sounds like fun. Yeah.
And I remember one of the key takeaways that I had from that was, you know, they're talking about leadership, but how the most balanced and effective leaders are able to engage both sides of their brain in a conversation, the language and also the emotional side of that.
Yeah.
And for me, it was around this same time we were walking through this, and I was going, whoa, wait a second. I need to do this in my marriage.
Well, and I think, again, and I'm not trying to defend you, but here's what
you can defend me all you want, baby. We need to live on a podcast.
Yeah, because I defend you on here. At home, I attack you. Right. That's exactly how it goes. But I didn't even need you to fix it in the time. I just needed you to hear me. Like, I didn't even know what needed to be fixed because I was such a mess. I was going to say a mess. I guess I was a mess. I was so lost is maybe a better word. I was so lost. But I think what John and Henry have sort of taught you, it's that integration of both sides of the brain. So it's bringing in that emotion that you would seek to connect with those underlying emotions in me that I couldn't even name at the time, really. But you're to inquire of them, to ask me about them.
Yeah. And we talk a lot about emotional safety. And of course, it's the book that I wrote called Safe House, How Emotional Safety is the Key to Raising Kids Who Live, Love, and Lead Well. We talk about emotional safety as it relates to raising our children. And what we're talking about today is being emotionally safe with one another in our marriage. And the way that I describe parenting is, and the way that I describe emotional safety is, that it's the posture from which we parent, not the techniques that matters most. And that's really what we're talking about here today as it relates to our marriage. It's the posture from which we approach one another, not the content, not the communication styles, not the communication techniques, not this strategy or that strategy. It's the posture from which we approach one another.
I've actually never heard you say it in those words, but that is so true. It's not the, like, you know, so many of us go to counseling and we're looking for what, like, those techniques to help us communicate better and stuff in marriage. Obviously helpful. Mm-hmm. Yes. Good. Mm-hmm. All great things. But this hits the core of the issue, I think. It's the foundation where it all starts.
Well, and if I can go here on you as well, and I'm going to say something that you're not even realizing I'm going to say.
Uh-oh.
Is because we're talking about content-based conversation, what I did, who I talked to, et cetera, versus process-based. And that is what I felt about what I did or who I talked to that day. And a lot of times, you know, as counselors, we say, well, how does that make you feel? As kind of a joke, tongue in cheek. But the reality is those feelings and using feeling words matter so much.
Yeah.
So much that even just recently, and we're going to talk about how we apply this in our own marriage, how these 15 minutes, how, because it was out of that moment that we applied these 15 minutes, this little strategy in our own marriage. And it's a communication about the communication. It's the posture, how we approach one another. But just to speak to the power of emotions and the power of grieving, even just recently, we have gone through a lot of grieving in our own family.
Yeah.
I recently lost my dad. And what that's done is it's triggered some important times in our lives where we've looked back, whether it was a move, where we've had to move away from friends, or whether it's not living with family, or just different losses that we've had to go through. And just the other weekend, you decided to do a list.
Yeah. I had a friend challenge me, and she said, I would challenge you, Christy, to write down everything you've lost in your life, which sounds like a lot, but what it is for you. It could be big, it could be small, and it needs to be both big and small. So, you know, we have moved a fair bit. And so allowing yourself to let go back there and actually grieve the losses, like the house that we moved from, that we brought our babies home from the hospital to. Sure, that's a big thing. That makes sense. But what about that really tall pantry that I loved in the kitchen? Hmm. What about the closet in my son's bedroom where I lined up his little clothes? Those are losses, and they're valuable. But I've never really allowed myself to grieve them. I've actually never put words to them. And that goes back, I'm working through this list, and it's horrible, and it's hard, and it's so good. It's been so good for me.
And as you're crying right now.
Sorry, yeah.
I think this is so, it's such an important piece, because grieving is so important. It's engaging both sides of the brain so that we can move forward.
Yeah.
And I have no idea what Christy wrote on her list. I have no idea. But as she was writing, she's weeping. And I just simply went and held her. She'll talk to me about those losses when it's her time. I didn't need to fix it. There's nothing to fix. The fixing is happening by me holding her and allowing her to grieve. And that's our point here. As we talk about 15 minutes and how 15 minutes can change your marriage. And I'm not talking about every single night where, you know, bearing it all and weeping our eyes out with one another.
I cried a lot. My eyes were so swollen for the whole next day. But no, that's not normal. I can't say that. But what we do is sit down with each other and we do ask the real questions beyond the practical, beyond the topics and the day-to-day.
Because that's what's critical. It's that process. How do I feel about what's going on?
Right.
And so,
we do kind of, you know, and again, so cliche, we know, but how do you feel? So Josh had a big meeting or whatever. He can tell me about the details of that meeting and the projects they're working on and how exciting this is or something like that. But I want to know what I'm asking him in those 15 minutes where we sit down together in a day.
And before I do that, you say about what you're going to ask me, I'm going to just hold the audience in suspense here, our friends in suspense. You got to find the time to do this. And we're not saying you have to do it every day, but it's so easy to, after the kids are down, if you have kids, it's easy to go into a mindless zone after the kids are down, or it's easy to go into a mindless zone after you get off work if you don't have kids yet, but you're coming home with one another, and it's easy to just shut down and turn on the TV or go to Netflix or whatever and not truly connect at a heart level and stay focused completely on the content of the day.
Yeah.
Use those times. Fine, just carve out a 10 or 15 minute period of time. Maybe it's when you're having dinner. Maybe it's when after the kids are down and you sit down on the couch. Find that specific time that works for you. And now I'm going to toss it to you.
Okay. Yes. And that has actually been a struggle for us. And we don't do it every single day, I can't say. Because no, there's not times in every day. And
not only that, I don't know if it's a completely necessary to do it every day. But if you're doing this, at least if you're aiming for this at least 3 or 4 times a week, your marriage just will be tighter, I promise you, than you could have ever imagined it to be.
From that day, D-Day, that I remember, like that's exactly that day where you talked about, till today, we have come a long way, I think.
Absolutely.
Because it's become a norm for us. It feels a little strange at first because it feels kind of, it's like any new thing you implement with your family or in a relationship. It just feels strange at first until you kind of, it becomes your norm. But it has for us. And so, but the question is, how did that make you feel? Like, how do you feel about that? And I know the how do you make you feel, like that is so cliche and we totally get that. It's corny. But if you can get past that, like, how did it make you feel? Like, how do you feel? You've got all these projects because... For you, so for a spouse who works and who's going on, taking on the world, going to a job or going to a job at a cubicle that they hate, you know, they're there doing their thing but to get below that. So does that make you feel insecure? Did that make you feel, are you afraid for something?
Well, and for me, and again, it's not even that you're just asking how you feel. Part of this is also... looking in to say what was the highlight of your day,
right?
What made you the happiest? What made you the most joyful? Or asking the question, what made you the most scared? When were you scared today? When were you angry? What was a point at which you were angry? These key times are times that we remember because there's emotion attached to them. Mm-hmm. It's critical. But a lot of times, what we don't do is we don't put language to them, especially the negative part.
Yeah,
we don't connect, and that's what emotional safety is all about. It's about being able to put language to what we're feeling. And I use the golden rule of relationships here. In order to be understood, we must first understand. Hmm. And
I love that.
In order to be understood, we must first understand. And so it's very easy for us to feel like our day, like maybe we were slighted by our spouse.
Yeah.
But we have no idea what's really going on underneath our spouse's heart. And so for, you know, maybe it is the job you hate. Or maybe... as a husband, you're scared because you're trying to figure out, maybe you own your own business and you're trying to figure out where, you know, you're trying to figure out cash flow issues.
Yeah.
And you're scared.
Right.
But you never felt able to be able to share the fear,
right,
with your, or the anxiety that you're experiencing with your spouse. And this is a neat time to do that. I personally have been able to, I mean, I've certainly drawn closer to you, Christy, over the last, you know, number of years being able to do this. But even most recently, over the last number of months, have discovered things about my own self that I'm able to call out fears throughout the day. Yeah. And I'm able to label them. Yeah. And I'm able to tell Christy about them.
Yeah.
In ways that I've never been able to tell her before. And just simply labeling them and telling her have freed me up so incredibly much.
And do you
much.
Know how much it's helped me, though? Because I see now what's going on. Otherwise, we just assess someone based on their behavior,
right?
Like, that's all I can see of you, I can read of you, is
how your tone of voice,
how you're acting. Mm-hmm. And it may not make sense to us. It may insult us. It may make us defensive. But now that I know what's going on behind it, I get it now. And with you, it's like lately, this is what you've talked about. It's been a fear-based thing. And now that we can talk about those things, like, it makes the issue the fear. It makes not whatever, you know, specific issue happened today.
Yeah.
And I think the key with that is then learning as the spouse. So you ask the question, you know, how are you feeling? What's on your heart? That's a good one too.
Inquire about your spouse's heart.
Right. Inquire about their heart. And then you just listen. You don't try to fix it,
mm-hmm.
which I'm a fixer. You're actually a fixer too.
Yeah.
But learning, like, we have to let people not be okay.
I remember when we first got married, there was times you would cry and you didn't even know why
I
you were crying.
I cry a lot. And so
I had no idea why you were crying. And I'm inside. If you would see my insides, I'm an anxiety. I'm an anxious mess because I'm trying to figure out how to fix it or how to figure out what's going on. I can't even figure out what's going on in order to fix it.
I probably couldn't even tell you why I was crying though.
And I don't think you could either. And
tears,
and that's where I've
they
learned
just come
to just
too easily.
Be present. Just, you don't have to fix it.
Yeah. And I think how the freedom that comes from that though is huge. You don't have to fix it. And I'm not coming to you telling you my deep feelings or fears or whatever, expecting you to. I'm just telling you because I want to be known by you.
Yeah.
Right?
And that's what it's about. It's about knowing and being known. Isn't that what marriage is all about?
Yeah. Except that there's so much fear and stuff that covers over that a lot of times.
That's right.
Being known is a scary thing to a lot of people.
So number one, we inquire about our spouse's heart. And then number two, we share what's on our heart. But instead of just sharing what's on our heart, sharing about our day, we begin by saying, I felt sad when, or I felt angry when, or I was happy when.
Yeah.
It's simply using feeling words that engages both sides of the brain, and it strengthens our bond with one another.
Yeah.
We do this with our kids too.
I was honestly just going to say that because it's actually become comical. They use in air quotes feeling words all the time. Like, they will say, "Mommy, I'm feeling sad about la la la, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera." And there's times where I'm like, that's actually not, no, you're not actually sad. You just were lazy and you didn't want to do the thing that I asked you to do.
Yeah.
But they hear, I'm thankful because they hear us do it. So now they've started to do it themselves.
But this is, I think what's critical about this, especially between husband and wife, is even as the Bible says, Proverbs 20, verse 5, the purpose in a man's heart is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Mm. That we become spouses who understand one another and can draw out the depths of our heart. You know, let's just go back to this too. Proverbs, you know, Solomon writes that, you know, to guard our heart, for it is the wellspring of life. And I believe that when we become one flesh, that there is a guarding of that, that we as one flesh, we have a heart of marriage that we have to guard.
Hmm.
And part of that heart of marriage is me protecting and guarding Christy's heart as well.
Yeah.
And if she's not well, we're not well. Because we all know that, I mean, as the marriage, so goes the marriage, so goes how you approach life.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say, if mom ain't happy, nobody happy.
But well, that's true too.
I think too, to exactly what you're saying, I can't defend or guard your heart if I don't know it.
Hmm.
I need to know it in order to be able to defend it, right? Like if you're working on something and I don't know the fear that's lying behind it, I can't help you or help put things in place or words of encouragement or whatever that would, again, not to fix it, but to help. You know, there are certain practical things I could do to help you or to help work on your fear. I can't help you if I don't know.
And there might be some of you listening who go, I just need help even labeling what my feelings are.
Yeah.
I don't even know what my feelings are. You know, there are...
I struggle with that. I'll be honest.
Yeah.
Naming my feelings. There's too many times where it's I feel anger or I feel sadness. But the anger, for example, is a secondary emotion. There's always
something
underneath the anger.
Yeah.
And I have a difficult time. I get stuck at anger and I struggle figuring out what's underneath that. You help me.
And
actually,
one of the things that we've learned in our own marriage is too, Christy's got chronic back problems and there's times where her pain, her physical pain, is bothering her so deeply that it comes out in anger towards me.
Yeah.
And I feel like, what the world am I doing wrong? Or what have I done wrong? Because, you know, I do this too. I have my own ways. I tend to get passive aggressive, but I'm just thinking of one particular right now.
Oh, no, it's real.
Where
I know.
This is the way that it manifests itself within you. But I've come to learn that. I've come to learn that when you're... that there's a very direct correlation between sometimes how angry you are or how you're treating me and how and your back, where I can come alongside you and help you draw those words out and support you and not take it personally.
Right, because it's not. And we've actually had a number of people, you know, kind of send us messages and emails and stuff about this because they can relate. And if it's chronic pain conditions, if it's chronic health conditions, where either their spouse or a child is chronically sick. I mean, that is a very real thing where that is such an all-encompassing thing. Pain is a very all-encompassing thing where our reactions, they're not really sane, honestly. Like, And so I just to say to any of you who are listening and can relate to that, I get you and we get you and we get what that does to a relationship. And I think even more the importance of this.
And the key here, again, I want to go back to that phrase, in order to be understood, we must first understand.
Right.
And for me to understand what's really going on within Christy in those moments is critical because... It's getting to the root of seeking the underlying motivation behind our spouse's behavior.
Right.
So a lot of times our spouses may attack us and we take it personally, so we defend ourselves.
Yep.
And the reality is it creates this conversation, friendly conversation that gets really heated.
That's tongue in cheek for
that goes,
it's an argument.
Goes way beyond where it ever should have, when the underlying motivation the entire time had absolutely nothing to do with me whatsoever.
Exactly.
And had I known that ahead of time by having these just 15 minutes a day or 10 minutes a day of just connecting with one another at a process heartfelt level of feeling, you avoid a lot of these issues down the road. So it's seeking the underlying motivation of your spouse's heart and what's really going on behind their behavior.
It's like the offensive strategy to save you from going down a lot of nasty rabbit trails.
Yeah.
Right? Of arguments.
Totally. Absolutely. And I think it's also important too, as you do this, that you're not also, because it might be that your spouse doesn't know why they're doing what they're doing. Or why your spouse is treating you the way that they are.
I would say that's the case a lot.
I think it's the case a lot. And so not even just...
Unless you're really self-aware.
Well, and I love what Tim Keller says about marriage, because he talks about it as, we're not looking for finished works of sculpture. Mm. We're looking for great blocks of marble
that
we can
that
mold
too.
And shape.
Yeah.
And that's what we're doing together. We're on this sin journey of becoming more like Christ together.
Yep.
And we're trying to make each other more whole. I'm to make you radiant. My job is to help make you radiant before Christ.
I need a lot of help with that.
And I need a lot of prayer with that. But this whole journey is about staying connected at a heart level and not forcing your spouse to figure out the why even, But just to say, hey, this is what's going on today. This is how I felt. And it might have had nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
But one of the biggest problems is in relationship is that we defend ourselves. And when we can give up blame, mm-hmm. giving up blame and stopping defending ourselves.
It's a hard thing to do.
It's very hard to do. But they're crucial to moving forward with one another in relationship.
Yeah.
They're crucial.
Yeah.
Because often there's something else deeper going on.
Yep.
And it's getting to the heart of that. And then being able to fight for that is critical. So guarding our spouse's heart.
Yeah. And I think just to wrap it up, if this is again, not something to add into your day. This is something just to integrate within the comings and goings of your day. And just make it a normal part of the relationship. And I think you'll find, again, like if you put yourself on a scale, we always talk about sort of a scale just to, you know, sort of figure out where you are. Maybe your marriage is at a 4. Maybe your marriage is 8. This is just one tool that we found that might make your 4 become a 5. That by the end of the year, it might become a 6. Hmm. And to just focus it on that way. This is not going to heal things overnight. These are great tools to have to start moving us up the scale. And I think to not just move us up the scale, but to keep us up there.
That's right. So because we can enjoy our relationship.
Yeah. Because once
Ecclesiastes 9:9, enjoy your spouse, enjoy the wife of your youth.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say, like, the more I know of you, the more that gives me insight and wisdom and to know how to even conduct myself in the marriage, in the relationship. In because I'm not just operating based on your reactions.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it's not just this reactionary like relationship
back
where
and
it's
forth.
Blow ups or snappy comments or whatever you're it's there's like a deep knowledge and knowing of you. And I'm learning myself as well. And so I know, and unfortunately, knowledge is power in the other way, too. It's also wounding. So and that's one thing we didn't talk about, but I think is bears in saying is that when you invite another into your own heart, when you actually share those deep feelings, that does give them ammo. And I think to just be very aware that if you and your spouse are, you're in this together, and this is not meant to give you ammunition to wound them in an argument a week later, and to really guard yourself
right
from doing that.
And we got all kinds of resources available that you could even look at here in the show notes that we're going to make available to you, especially as it relates to date nights and the ability to be able to go on date nights, ask questions. We've got questions that you can ask that you don't have to be creative about. We already got them there for you and available to you that will help you begin to get to your spouse's heart along with some date night ideas. So make sure you take a look at the show notes for that as well.
And yeah.
And please know that we are fighting for and with you in making sure that we enjoy marriage. We are a generation of families who enjoy their marriages.
Amen.
That's what I want.
Yeah.
And the heart behind that, being able to speak truth with one another about how we feel, is one of the great ways of getting there.
Yep. Let's do it.
See you next time.
Bye. For information and resources, or to connect with us, go to drjoshandchristy.com. We're also on Instagram and Facebook at Dr. Josh and Christy.
And be sure to head over to iTunes and subscribe to the Dr. Josh and Christy podcast. Write a review. The more positive reviews we get, the more people learn about it. Tell a friend and be sure to send us ideas, thoughts, and questions you may also want us to cover on the podcast.
It's an honor walking alongside you.
See you next week.